So, to be born anew, this is what is meant by that. You see, by rising of body consciousness. And that's also meant by, you know, by twice born. So these are the things given to the children of 5, 7 years, 9 years old, the very first thing. What is learned in childhood, I would say what is learned in the womb of the mother, that's lost forever. Lost in the baby. We should be very careful to bring up children, mind that. Whether they are in the womb or outside. And this is what is said during, to be born in you, die very. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Then you will have everlasting life, not to you escape, evade the cycle of the birth and death. You follow me? Very delicate point it is, but we must understand it and live by it. So, it is done how? By the grace of this Master. If with the grace of the Master we learn to die while alive, then you know that another law is working here. When one machine is going on, if those grains which are put between the two parts of the machine, you see, they will grow. If some grains stick to the handle of the machine, they will stay. So it said it is a great blessing to have a living master and to keep his commandments. That's the main thing. So one therefore has therefore to forsake the flesh for the sake of the spirit. If one is anxious to escape from the perpetual wheel of life on earth. I'm quoting from the Bible. Even if you've got other scriptures like that. But if one under the guidance of a master learns the practical process of self-analysis at will and rises into the beyond, that life, the whole angle vision is changed. So result is after that, thereafter continue to live on earth without attachment. When you rise above body conscious daily, your all attachments are gone. You got hundred thousands of dollars with you or you've got no money, you cannot. You won't try to amass the rights of others. You won't try to squeeze the blood of others. Because though you incur karma and they won't go along with you. So when you rise above body conscious and daily, the whole angle begins to change. You won't do anything unbecoming. Because you are not to carry with you. Ill gotten, ill spent. Christ said, you see, he that taketh not this cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You help me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Just follow the meaning. Very clear, very simple word. If you rise above outer life, then you have everlasting life. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. And you maintain this life, the other is gone. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What life? We die from outside. You see? Not dying, but we die your attention from all outside. Rise above body consciousness. He said, for my sake. And you find it. Then again, you'll find Bhagavad one which is said, if any man will come after me, help me, is what he said. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You mean, what is taking of cloth? They say, stand up, this is cloth. Rise up. Then follow. When you rise up, one whole angle of vision is changed. You won't taunt anybody, you won't squeeze blood of anybody. You're all out of contact with the world, you're all above world, you see, fair, honest. So whosoever doth not, again he says, whosoever doth not bear this cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. What more you know? Can we ever expect, if we don't keep up the commandments of the Master, how can we save the wheel of coming and going? Simply saying we have got no time, we have this and that thing, after all we are sowing seeds further from day to day. So therefore, you see, death in life or death in Christ is referred to in the East as Finafishah. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. To death in Christ means just we die from outside and come in contact with the Christ power within you. In the Persian words, another way they say like that. Finafishah. In Hindi way, Sikh Master they say, Gur Gur, to be one in the, what you say, tomb of the Guru. As I and my father are one, the initiate who becomes one with the Guru and the Guru in him, this is taking death in Christ or death in the Guru. So this is can save us from coming and going. Longer we go on sowing seeds, they will grow. They will bear good fruit. Be cautious not to grow any. So what is that by knowing which nothing more is desired to be had? This is only coming in contact with the God power within you. So the masters, you see, those who are word-made flesh, it is spoken very highly of them. When you sit by them, that is why it's Maulana Rum said, if you sit 1 hour with the master, how receptive, not your body sitting in your wandering outside. That would give you effect which would not you would have by 100 years of penance. You sit by him, they give the example of a scent flower, scent seller. You get revived anything, perfume. All free. And he gives you a file of sentiment. If he initiates you, it gives you down. From the day you come to the feet of the Master and he initiates you, he takes up the work of your value of all actions. Only if you obey commandments of the Master, 100%. So those who are word-based as such a Master, you see, can annihilate what? By his look, and it all his sins, karmas, past, by his look and word. Eyes are the windows of the soul, whose soul is drenched with God, who is made flesh. He is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. You see, whosoever taketh of it shall have everlasting life. And further, this bread how can be eaten? eyes are the windows of the soul, through the eyes. By sitting in deceptive mood, forgetting all other, you feel your mind won't recover any trouble, all quiet. If you go deep down in the depths of the silence, you find the very silence becomes vocal. These are hard facts I am putting before you. So, in His presence, in the presence of the Master, the karmas fly like autumn leaves before a wind blows. For the time you have no thought occurs in your mind. It is just subdued. And such actions mind that the moment you have got with what Master is, your mind still, say for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or a year, that will have reaction or not. That's our reaction, which won't react. No, for that time being you won't have mind troublesome later. The more you become the subject, near or away, both. Physical presence, of course, cannot be underrated. You see for yourself. Those who are even living far away, the other side of the ocean, and the Master living this side, direct your attention to that. Now you see, by the scientific way, you can hear the voice, you can see men talking from thousands of miles, through radio, to study the law of nature. Science is finding out laws of nature which are hidden. Not all found out, but we are trying to find out. So great, I would say, great is the power of the retribution, retributive angel, I would say. And none can escape its fury. But it does fly in fear of death. Behold, wounding blast of the world, winding up. The Master uses the word by giving you contact with that. So there are two ways now to exhaust, to finish up the vast and limitless storehouse of karma. You got still in so many. If Master does not meet us then, there are two ways now. Either we should allow them to exhaust. And I quoted you one instance, there are others too, in which 100 births back, action reacting in this birth, being blind from the very birth. How long myriads of years it will take? And quite unfortunate, be kind of. Mind again goes on sowing seeds. There is no end to it. So one way to exhaust the storehouse in due course of time, which is almost not possible. The other one is to obtain from a master soul a practical knowledge and experience of the science of life. On the earthly, as well as in the spiritual planes too, and to work right now for transcension from one to the other while there is still the chance and opportunity of man body. This we can do in man body, in no other body. Two ways. The first cause will take myriads of years, you see, to reach the goal, which is also quite uncertain, because mind again go on seeds. Some will be fruit, bear fruit, others again sown more. So by adapting the second cause, one seeks a competent spiritual master who can wind up the karmic account of the bankrupt spirit. When such a master takes in his own hand the process of liquidating the endless process of karma of the past, he says, this is very fortunate. As I just quoted you, one Sikh Guru Master said, Oh Guru, oh Master, what is the use of coming to your feet if our karmas are not lost? Are finished. What if Buddha is going to the feet of a lion if we dare the jackal howl on us? When you come to a master, what he says, all right, no more, so far is not for us. He says, from today on, are you taking up the advice? Keep that. Do no more. Criticize yourself as you like to criticize others, and we don't. Simply saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, that won't do. Be very watchful on your every thought that occurs to you. And come in contact with that non-power, the contact you have been given. That good more this and mind will, what you say, die. When you get that nectar of life or the water of life, the bliss of that, it will leave out all outward enjoyment. When there is no desire, where there is no desire, there is God. You see? What is man? God plus desire. And what is God? Man minus desire. And these desires are raised up by mind through your faculty. Very simple way now, I think. Follow me. So if you follow that, everything comes up, will come up all right. And first he said, do no more. And he puts him on the high road. You see, you got high road here? How fast, go fast. You got the high road within you of the light and sound. Go fast. There's no retardation on the way. You can go quickly back to your home. He gives you the high road, you see, God order. He does not usually interfere with the prarabdha karma, you see, because in that case, you would like to land. He gives you contact with the spirit, which is the light, the sound principle within you. And also, give you contact with the Holy Word, which reduces to ashes all sanchit karmas and any unfructified karmas, recent karmas, and hinsa. Guru Nanak, in Japji, says, you see, lost, and when he has given all his instruction material to give for the, on the life, way of life, last of all, he says, give an example, when the hands are defiled, that can be washed away by water. When the clothes are get dirty, we can wash away by soap. But then he says, when mind is defiled by the sins, it can be purified only by coming in contact with the world within you, which is given by the Master to you, the very first. First, he gives you two things, to rise above body consciousness, but you die daily, and you come in contact with the world within you. He watches all sins of the past. Men do not become saints and sinners merely by word, Guru Nanak said. As one soul, so is God. Nanak, men come and go by the wheel of birth and death as ordained by His will. This last closing chapter sigils. Our action, good or evil, will be brought before His court. And by our own deeds shall we move higher as we cause to the depths. Now it is two ways before you. One to go up to your father's home, the other to go down. So man's body is a junction, I would say. From you have your way back to God or to go back. Come back, that's all. And that's only by understanding the law of cause and effect and acting up to it. and the master looks after it that all actions and deeds have gone up. Without him only for that purpose, and his ways are too funny. Admiral said, do no more. When our master was there, he sometimes in hundreds of people, one word, what he should have said, I'll send this change. Well, anybody is there to compare the breath of that sin? Who is there? No. They said, all right, do no more. And do well. So very first day, you see, he told us, keep your diary. You are fortunate, I would say. In the old days, men used to sit by the master for years. When they saw the vessel was clean, only utensil was clean, only then they put in something. Now you got to really first thing, two things. Rising of body conscious and content with the with you. If you rise daily, you'll out of pinching what won't affect you, you'll that is air conditioned you will become. Prarabdha karma also won't affect you so much as we know. Cry like an angle of vision will change by rising above body consciousness. Is it not a blessing? So, then he says, those who have communed with the world, their tires shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall have liberation, salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom with you. Not one. So what is such a... So it is therefore what is wanted, you know. To save the wheel of life and death. So it is therefore paramount importance that we should seek a master competent to wind up the otherwise endless cycle of karma. And seek refuge at his lotus feet and free ourselves of the bewitching influence of the courage, of deeds. This is the outcome. You have been given two ways. One way, which is the only way back, that is you have been given a contact with the normal world within you, and also you have been given how to rise above body consciousness, take cross daily. Those who do not take cross daily, they are not my disciples. All of us. So you should be very careful what you think. Sometimes in frivolous ways we say so many things. So that carries effect. So you have to be very self-disciplined. Think twice before you speak. When you speak, just think whether it will do good or bad. What is good, then give out. What is good of others, is not, don't tell. So this is the law of karma, you see. If we understand it, we have got fortunately, I think, put out the way with the grace of God and the grace of our Master, I would say. His grace is working. With His grace, we are all being blessed with these things. Baba Jamal Singh was there, he used to initiate anybody who said, look here, I am now residing with you. Take care of me. Don't see that I am not looking to you. That the master power is in you. Don't deceive him. If you deceive him, he won't be deceived. Be true to your own self. This is what I always say. If you are true to your own self, the God is within you, the master power is within you. So this is love karma that going on, like anything. Inevitable is love karma. No escape. I tell you what to speak of hearty men, what to speak of the incarnation they are told to. It is through the favor, grace of the Master that we are saved. You know, incarnations also respect the Master. They are their guru. Lord Krishna is his own guru, English is grave in this very way. Lord Rama had his guru, isn't it? Vishishth. But to sit at the feet of the master is a great blessing, you see. He winds up all your actions of the past. We have simply to keep his commandments, nothing more. He does not want anything from you in return. He is pleased when you are all safe. That is why our master at the age of 92, he is working for the good of humanity. In the old age, must have taken rest, you see. They don't rest. Go by like anything. The more they say, the better. And they work under the orders of God, you see. Now you will feel how blessed you are, how fortunate you are. First you have got the man body. Further you have something save you from coming and going, you see. If you are attached to the master power within you, where will you go? Why will you come back to the earth again and again? Because we are attached to the world. Because if we are really attached to the master power within you, nobody will bring you back. You will go where he will go. In very simple ways, it is a very intricate dhāva karma. You find now how blessed we are. We don't realize the importance of this. What boon you have been given. So please remain where you are, your gift. Keep up your diaries strictly. Find time daily to die. Take care of daily. Only sitting and doing what to rise above body consciousness and take. Remain in contact with that. Not here alone, you see, but in the spiritual place above too. There are so many places. Macrocosm is in the microcosm. Further guidance also required. And the more you are devoted to the commandments of the master out or within, you reach your home. That's the ultimate goal of getting man body. All scriptures say so. So in man body only, even those rishis of the old, whose souls, you see, enjoyed higher bliss and they returned to the earth, they selected the man body. Because in man body alone you could go back home. So I placed before in very simple words, quite understandable way, and live up to it, please. This is what is wanted. We do pity on others. Why don't you pity on your own self, to save you from the wheel of coming and going? Charity begins at home, is it not? We cannot have pity in our own self and save us from coming and going. What pity you can do to others? So have pity on yourself, that's all. You've got the golden opportunity, this man's body, once it passes away out of you. Kabir says, who knows when you get away this man body and you will be able to do this work. So this is very calm consideration, you see. And to follow gently, you are sure to reach that. You are not to come back. When you are under control of master, then no lord or judgment can sit over you. It is you who takes all karmas in hand to punish you or to save you. That power has been given by God, you know. Christ also owns it, is he saying? All other masters say so. They are the God in him, you see, that's the only case. They are word made flesh. I hope you have followed this love karma. Try to. That is why all the great ones say, think twice before you speak. You see? Guru says, be careful of the sins you commit unknowingly. By frivolous talk, so many things, you see. Talk only what is necessary. Why talk in the frivolous way? And also even talking whether to do good to anybody or harm anybody. Then I think you have shared many souls of beauty.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a talk called Law of Karma, given by Master on October 29, 1972, in Chicago. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore.
Good evening, everyone. I'm reading tonight from The Light of Kirpal, and I'm starting with Chapter 58, which was named God's Complaint. It was an evening talk given February 20th, 1971 on Rajpur Road. Always live in the present, in the living present. Not in the living present, but in the living moment. Did you read my circular on that point? If you care for the living moment, you can care for eternity. Read the circulars and go into them deeply. If you care for the pennies, pounds will be saved, is it not so? If you keep your mind occupied every moment, then nothing can go wrong. It is given very briefly in the circulars. Brevity is the soul of all creation. The Master's sayings are very brief, but to the point. If you watch your present moment, then everything is all right. If you don't care, sometimes for hours you're oblivious, and in those vacant hours there's so much trouble that comes up which affects your meditations. So when you sit for meditation, forget the past, forget the future, live in the living present. This is the one thing that will give you success in your meditations. But the vacant hours in which you've not kept the mind occupied with some constructive thought affect your meditation. So that is the remedy that accounts for all these things. If you would pass your every hour in peace, with no ill will against anybody and no attachment to anybody, if you can pass each hour like that for one day, then continuously for some days, no such ramifications of mind will come up to affect your meditations. We are frittering away our moments of life in such like pursuits. Kabir says, make each breath you take the offering to your master. Do you follow what I have said? Every breath you take, make it the offering to your master. This is very valuable, Kabir says, and we fritter away a fortune. If a dying man wishes to stay for a few minutes longer, he cannot. How frivolously we kill our time. Every moment of life is very valuable. Make the best use of it. When death overtakes us, that is the time you say, oh, had some time been given me, I would have done this and that thing. Is it not so? But you cannot get time then, which you have frittered away so ruthlessly, so cruelly. Kabir says, in one breath he crossed three planes, physical, astral, causal. One breath is very valuable. That is why some saints have been spending their time in the threes, 3 minutes, 3 days, continuously in the remembrance of God with no moment forgetting. For 3 days? Then you may have a week at least. All right, try. One saint says, if you can pass 3 days and nights in sweet, constant remembrance of God, you go to his feet. 3 days. Can we? It's not much. Let no other thought other than God strike your mind. Why not start with one day? Start from today. All right, from now on till tomorrow evening, no thought, constant remembrance, even when you eat. Don't forget him. Try one day. That will give you good training. We don't care for the trifling things, but that is where the substantial thing comes from. One day is not much. You have been here how many days? So many days. And if you had passed even one day and night in constant remembrance, you would have changed very much. If in 24 hours of the day and night you are doing your best by meditating 4 hours, even then you are not in constant remembrance. How many hours have you put in today? Six, Master. In 6 hours you had no other thought than God? Maybe two? Two maybe. 2 real hours of meditation. And out of 2 hours, did you have sweet remembrance constantly? You see, I'm afraid that even that may not be very true. Then go into it. I have sifted that point. Now you sift it in your own self. You were in constant remembrance for 2 hours. With your grace, I had a very good meditation which lasted. Well, I am talking about something else. In your meditations, you had some glimpses for a moment, 2, 10, 15 minutes. You had good experience, of course. That is creditable. But what I am talking about is constant remembrance. Like a hard taskmaster, don't spare yourself. We spare ourselves, you see. Diary is like a very hard taskmaster over your head. Every moment should be watched as to what thought crosses your mind and how many times you fail, even in thought, word, and deed. When you think of God constantly, how blissful it is. No ill will for anybody, no exaggeration, no underrating. The time that you spend in scaling, you are judging. This is like that. This is not like that. This is that way. This is that. That is called delusion, Maya. And that is intellect, you see, Maya. The intellect is the instrument of scaling. Your intellect is always scaling. Well, when we're doing our diaries or in the course of the day when we're weeding out faults from our minds, isn't that also scaling? Scaling is not that. Doing your diaries is weeding out, which is something else. Where your intellect works, that is Maya. Intellect is the instrument of what? Of delusion. Always scaling. That is why it is said that your outgoing faculties must be controlled, mind controlled, and intellect also stilled. Then you can rise above easily. These words are very simple. We're always clutching or watching or scaling. This is this, what is that? Most of the time is spent in that. Don't spare yourself, none of you. If you keep the diary constantly, you will have transvision if there is no ill will for anybody, no attachment to anybody, no deluding your own self and not deluding others, no contempt, no attachment. These things create ripples in the subconscious reservoir of your mind. And if they are stilled, the water is calm, quite still, then you can see your face. 10th Guru says, if you think of him for a while, 10 minutes, or even for a moment, with all of your heart and soul, then no negative power can affect you. These are very simple words. Go deep down into their meaning. Yes? Master, what does thinking of God really mean? Thinking of God is much better as compared to thinking of worldly things, but seeing is above all. feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error. The time we spend in seeing is the highest way, constantly, and then no negative power will affect you. Go deep down into this. These very simple words are given in the scriptures, but we simply never go into their depths. I don't think even for 2 minutes, Master chuckles. Now, you said you spent 2 hours. I'm very glad to hear your honesty. Yes? Master, if we do Simran, is this thinking of God? Simran. What is Simran? It is the repetition of the different names given to that power working in all planes. The same God power working in different planes is called by different names. In the highest plane, it is called truth. In the second plane, it is called I am you, you are me. In the third plane, you find I'm above all three attributes. The same power is called by different names in different planes, but it is the same power. That is one. And when you see that power working, that is light and sound. We are always doing some remembrance of the world, something. Every man, whether he is in the office or in the field or anywhere, starts remembering what he has to do tomorrow, here, there, everywhere, this and that, making programs, setting this and that. Nobody can remain without remembrance of one thing or the other. So remembrance of God is far better than remembrance of the world. Whatever becomes the ruling passion in your life, you go there after death. If it is for the world, then you come down to the world. If it is for God, then you return there. Remembrance of God is pointing your attention to something higher working in the universe. But unless you see that power, these are helping factors, are they not? Just go deep down into that thing. Constant remembrance does not mean automatic repetition of names. All the same, automatic repetition is remembering that power. Unless you become conscious of that power, you're just like a blind man. Still, it is comparatively better than thinking of the world. To think of God is much better, but that is also not sufficient unless you see that power. Listen here. I say now, hear this attentively. God complains, I reside in them. God is where? He's in the same house which he has made, and that is the man body. But they dethrone me from the body and put me where? In churches, in the models. These are the models, and they put light there. Instead of seeing me, my light, they see the symbols of light. Are they not dethroning God? Do you follow what I mean to say? God resides in temples which he has made, and people raise up churches and temples constructed after the model of man. He does not reside there. He says, I reside in you, and people have thrown me out. So they raise models which they make with mud and mortar. If they had seen me, they would have known I am the light within them. But they just light candles outside. He says, the people dethrone me. They don't come where I live. They turn me out into the temples. Is that not true? Do you find that? In church, people light candles, outer symbols. They don't see me in their home. So he says, I am long forgotten by everybody. It is a true complaint, is it not? He says, I reside in you. I am light. Take heed that the light within you is not darkened. It's certainly a complaint, is it not? I reside in you. I'm the light. I'm the sound principle, music of the spheres. Instead of that, they make models and direct people to them. They try to disown me. Excuse me, but the truth remains like that. So God says, well, always see me instead of making models of me outside. Why do you forget me? I'm in your temple, residing within you. I reside nowhere else. Is it not so? All the scriptures say that. Then God, I think, is quite justified to complain. If you love some friend of yours, you remember him. Is it not better to see him? Which is the better of the two? Seeing is better. He stands by watching you, within you, waiting for you. And we are doing this and that thing. We make models of light and of the sound principle, and he is within you. We don't talk to him within. That is what men are doing in all the religions. They're making models. They attach too much importance to those things and not to the man body where he himself resides. He is waiting for you there. Does what I say appeal to you? Is it not something substantial? Is it not something real? And what are we doing? Wasting our time. Yes. If some thief enters a room where he knows there is wealth buried, he knows. He's got a clue about where it is. He's read about it somewhere. And he's all alone in that room with nobody to watch him. What will he do? Will he sleep or dig under the earth? Nobody's watching him while he is digging. Nobody has seen him. Dig. Tap inside. That is what Emerson said. This is what all scriptures say. The Quran says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you find me? Guru Nanak says, there's a valuable jewel lying within you. Just be guided by the word of the master and you'll get it. Why not dig for your own self? Go within and find him. He is there, waiting. For that, you will have to close yourself within the closet of the body. That's all. Not thinking of the outside world. God's complaint is very real, is it not? It's only for the sake of bringing home this point. It does not mean God complains, but this is what we actually do. We even make a mockery of God by lighting candles here and there and ringing bells. He's within you. By drawing people to those things, you're deceiving your own self. You're deceiving God and all the other people too. By ringing the bell and lighting the candle and making dome-shaped buildings, is it not a mockery? This is a good story for you. It will draw many people. So every day you get something fresh, not given in books. At least out of the 24 hours of the day and night, leave and spend some time with him within you. That costs you nothing. Does it cost you? Then you've come from thousands of miles. What for? Only to learn these few words. Spend some time within you. God says, I'm within you. Don't make a mockery of me. Is it not a good story for you to write? All right. And that's the end of that talk. Number 59 is called Removing the Weeds Little by Little. Hello. Going strong? That's good. When I do my diaries in the evening, I forget the more delicate failures I committed all during the day. So what should I do? Do you remember the Pellman system of memory? How to improve your memory? That was written by one Pellman. So in the beginning, this is what you have to do. I rose in the morning. I went to the bathroom, took my bath, then took breakfast, and went away to my office work, and so forth. Now further, when you rose in the morning, what thought was crossing your mind? During the day, when you came to the bathroom, what were you thinking of? We simply watch the progress of the physical body, not the mind. And in that way, man is asked to train himself to remember from morn till evening. The memory becomes strong and there will be an improvement. This you also have to do for self-introspection. You have to weed out. Recall what thoughts crossed your mind. In the beginning, you'll say, that's all right. Everything was going all right. Few failures. But if you go down deep into it, you will have to show that it was not right. Sometimes you'll remember, he told me this and that thing and I called him names. That was all right though, this was tit for tat. But later on, you'll say, well, if he has done wrong, why should I? Reactions come from failures, and that reaction strikes you more than once. All those reactions are your failures. This is how you have to weed out your hidden imperfections or failures. This diary is a court, a very hard taskmaster over your heads. It is not an ordinary thing. In the beginning, you'll find very few failures. But as you daily go more deeply, you will find more and more, more and more. Really, they existed, but we had never gone into weeding them out. I have read the lives of great men, many great men. Each one had some system of watching his failures and weeding them out. Hafiz was a great saint. He used to throw one pebble in a pile for each failure. After a while, there was a big mound. In the beginning, the man does not remember. But in the way I just described to you, your memory will also become strong. It is the way of the Pellman system of memory. And further, you will know how many failures are there, how many scorpions are under your bed. At present, we don't know how many there are. You have to weed out. Suppose there is some dirty water with weeds also growing on the surface. Then how can you see your face? Just remove the weeds little by little. Throw them off. Weed out. The water will remain. When it is still, you will be able to see yourself. This is most important. It is called purity of mind and is very much necessary for meditation. Hitherto, as I told you, when people went to their masters, to their gurus, they first make the utensil clean and then put something into it. Abraham was a saint. He was a king who left his kingdom and came to Kabir, lived with him for 3-4 years. He was quite obedient and did not ask for anything. Whatever he was given, he would eat. He would do whatever he was told to do, like a bought slave. So Loi, the mother of the house, told Kabir, well, he's quite ready. Will you give him something now? And Kabir told her, no, his vessel is not yet ready. She said, what more is wanted? He's very obedient. He does not say anything. Whatever you give him, he eats. He never grumbles. All right. Tomorrow morning when he goes out of the door of the house, you put all of the refuse of the house into a basket and throw it over his head, and then listen to what he says. Next morning when Ibrahim went out of the house, Loi put all the house refuse over his head. Ibrahim said, now, had this been Bokhara, he was the king of Bokhara, you see, this would not have been. His ego was still there. I am a great man living at his door. When she told Kabir, he said, I told you, his vessel is not yet ready. Then some years passed. He remained there for more than 10 years. Then one day Kabir said, "Now the vessel is ready." Louis said, "There is no difference outwardly." Kabir said, "All right. Tomorrow morning when he goes out, just throw all of the night waste over his head." The next morning she did so, and Ibrahim said, "God, I am worse than that." And Kabir said, "Didn't I tell you? He's now ready, you see." "So, hitherto these things were given to you for the purpose of preparing you, cleaning your vessel first. Where's the time now? Can you afford to spend years at the Master's feet? The times are changed. So now you get something first. How great a concession it is. Then you're asked to weed out. Diary is only for that purpose. The more you weed out, the more you come in contact from within, the quicker the results will be. So it is a great concession given nowadays. This is a very dark age, of course, what they call the Iron Age, and much has to be done. Diary is very important. Do nothing more than to weed out all imperfections, and you'll have transvision. But transvision is no spirituality, I tell you. You develop that naturally. It follows. Spirituality, as I told you, is a matter of self-analysis, knowing oneself and coming in contact with God overhead within you already. Yesterday I was telling you that you were mocking God. Is it not so? He says, "I reside within you and you put me into temples made of stones. You drive people away from me, lighting candles and ringing bells, this and that. I am within you. I have told you." It is something like that, is it not? So, seeing is believing. Mere feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error. You find so much time for other pursuits. Out of 24 hours, perhaps you're spending 18 hours, 20 hours in other pursuits. What time do you devote to your own self? And this is the most important thing with you. A man who is unlearned at the time of death won't become learned after leaving the body, you see. He remains for years what he has become at the time of death. So that is the reason for the motto, "Now or Never." Now or never. If you don't care for the present, then the future cannot be set right. Now further, live in the living present. And even further, the living moment. So this is a most vital question concerning our own self. All other things are related to give and take. You have to finish off, wind up. What you have sown, you must reap. And one thing more, don't sow further seeds. That's all. This is a time when you can go back to your home, your true home. But what are we doing now? We're just like a prisoner whose term of sentence is coming to completion, telling his fellow prisoners, "Look here, keep this article with you, I'm coming again." Sowing seeds to come back again. Don't sow further seeds. Pay off what you have already sown. What I am talking about now, is it not most important? Yes, indeed, important. Then, we leave. We have to leave the body someday. But when, nobody knows. Even on the way, we could be cut off. Then, we're nowhere. And that is why saints tell us, laying great stress on that which is your bread of life and water of life. So on spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. This is what we mean. This is the gist of all scriptures. You do not have to leave the world. Pay off what you have to pay. Wind up all give and take and direct your way back to God. Man is the highest in all creation. If we don't make the best use of this time, then we have to come again like that prisoner. All right, keep this with you. I am coming here again. So it is high time to go back to our home, but we just keep paying off and sowing new seeds to come back. Do you want the other life after death only to have to come back again? Why not go back to your home? And for that, we have done little. All right, I'll stop here. I've been reading in The Light of Kripal, chapters 58 and 59. Thank you so much, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Sheila. There were 55 people at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there.